Heavenly Father, thank you that we get to understand you more today, and that this amazing promise you gave to Abram, who you then called Abraham to be a father of many nations, that you gave this promise out of love and graciousness that you are to Abraham, and that you wanted to establish a people for yourself, even amidst your people that you created rebelling against you. And Father, we are now descendants who also have faith in you and now in your Son, Jesus. And would we think about how we can respond appropriately to considering what you said so many years ago to Abraham, and how we can respond with love for you and know that you are a God who keeps your promises and will bring us home as you promise through Jesus. So thank you, Father, and may you give me wisdom and understanding, and may we all be empowered by your Spirit to live for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, have you ever been disappointed when someone didn't keep their promise? Or maybe you've been delighted or thanked God when someone has kept their promise. I set myself the expectation by saying this year I would not have digital technology in the evening, no screen time by myself, particularly videos. Now, I've personally decided to do this for my own godliness. And this is an agreement between myself, God, and with Crystal, and now all of you know about it too. But I failed, so I start again. So I seek forgiveness from God and keep pushing on, seeking his strength and self-control he gives. We say we will do something because we hope to achieve what we say. We expect to do what we say we will do. Our word is as good as a promise. I can keep promises I make, but I can also break them. We make lots of promises to do something. As simple as saying we'll be somewhere to meet someone, but then you forget. I forgot last year to meet a friend in town, and I was devastated. The friend forgave me, but who wants to be waiting around for someone? Keeping promises, keeping to our word, it's actually tied to us being made in the image of God. God keeps his promises. We've been made to keep promises. When I've not done something I said I would do, I feel the guilt, like forgetting to meet someone. Now, this doesn't include situations that are out of our hands, but I prioritize something else. But God never feels guilty. He always keeps his promises. Now, our God makes formal promises called covenants with his people, like a contract, an agreement between God and people. And God sets the terms with his covenants. Well, today we are continuing in God's Big Picture series, and we move from last week, which focused in on the brokenness of humanity and the loss of eternal rest with God. And as we see in the slide, humans were created to live in Eden with God, but then sin came. Now, this is a preaching series based off of Vaughan Roberts' book, God's Big Picture. So reading the book is highly recommended by Daniel and myself. Well, sin is the word in the Bible to describe rebellion against God. Sin is the word to describe us saying to God, we know best, and living in such a way as to ignore God. So what's God going to do about the problem of sin? We learnt last week that God would bring a son of Eve to destroy the serpent, Satan, the deceiver. This is a promise God gave after Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Today we move into understanding God's covenant with his people, which is the beginnings of God keeping his promise. So the promised kingdom. Now, kingdom is the word used in this series because God is the king of this world, not us. God Almighty establishes an everlasting covenant or promise with the people who struggle to keep promises. And this is good news. God Almighty establishes an everlasting promise. We will again have a question time after the sermon. So if you have any questions from God's word or what I've shared, then send them to the number on the screen. So God always keeps his promises. We're going to understand and focus in on Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 to 8. We skipped a bunch of stories in Genesis from last week to a story of a man called Abram and God speaking to him. So please do follow along with me in a Bible if you have one. Feel free to grab one so you can come with me into God's word. I'm going to unpack this story under two headings. Firstly, fruitful promise, and then secondly, everlasting promise. So firstly, fruitful promise. Verse 1. Abram was 99 years old. The Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I'll make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Now, I don't know if I'll reach 99 years old, but if I did and heard, "will greatly increase my numbers," I'm not sure how I would react. In God's strength, I would accept it, but highly unusual. This man is old, 99 years old, and he gets a special appearance from the Lord. God comes to talk with him. Now, Lord in the Old Testament, when capitalized as you read it, it's referring to God's covenant name, and it's likely pronounced Yahweh. So this God, this Lord God, well, what does he require of Abram? "Walk before me faithfully and be blameless." Abram is to trust God and live obediently to him, turning away from wrongdoing and doing what is right. Blameless means being a man of integrity, acknowledging wrongdoing to God and seeking forgiveness rather than trying to hide it, which was what Adam and Eve tried to do after they sinned against God. Well, then the Lord will act. He says, "I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abram is to obey God, and flowing out of obedience is a promise of blessing. Well, Abram, his response, he falls face down. He knows God, the Creator, is talking to him. The one who is perfect and holy, no sin or evil is found in him. So humanity, well, they sinned against God. And there was judgment as people now die because of sin and also cast out of God's presence. But this story captures God's grace to Abram. So verse 4, this is what God says. "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I've made you a father of many nations, and I'll make you very fruitful. I'll make nations of you, and kings will come from you." This is huge. The father of many nations. I can't compare this to hearing that I'll be a father of a child. We heard what God wanted of humanity right at the beginning, to bear fruit and fill the earth. God is going to use Abraham now to be the father of many nations. God says, "I will make you very fruitful." But what must Abraham do? He must walk before God faithfully and be blameless. Abraham just can't hear this promise, then do whatever he wants. God doesn't just establish covenants with his people and provide for them so they can just reject his rule. This is like you being offered a new job. You have the contract sent to you to read before signing it. Expectations are listed with the role description, and you meet with your new boss to sign the form. Your new boss reiterates the expectations and role descriptions and gives an opportunity for questions. You sign away. But when you start work, you do whatever you want. You might do most of the jobs, but some you decide aren't for you. No discussion with your boss, you just do what you want to do. What will the boss do? The boss is unlikely to keep you if you don't start doing what you're meant to be doing according to the contract. So God, he established a covenant with Abraham. And it's a fruitful promise. But this promise is not just a fruitful promise. It's an everlasting promise. So secondly, an everlasting promise. From verse 7, we'll hear more about this promise from God. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you reside as a foreigner, I will give you as an everlasting possession for you and your descendants after you. And I will be their God. So God Almighty makes this an everlasting promise with Abraham and his descendants. It's not temporary, everlasting. God wants to give the land of Canaan to Abraham and his descendants. And who's to be their ruler? God is. God is providing for Abraham and his family. This is eternal provision. This isn't a house that could be destroyed by fire or a land taken over by another country, but eternal provision. Guaranteed. We've learned so far in this God's Big Picture series that God made humanity to live forever with him. Humanity in the beginning was to enjoy their work, be fruitful and fill the earth and subdue it. There was also eternal rest with God. But sin came, and this meant humans rejected God's rule and decided they know what is best. So work became frustrating and rest seemed unattainable. God's kingdom perished as people rebelled against him. Now God is offering to Abraham a covenant of provision. God will provide for him, but that doesn't mean he will stop working. Abraham's work will result in good outcomes now. There will be children and descendants and a land for them to live. This is God's promised kingdom. God is providing a land with a people, and God is the ruler to bring blessing. Now, since humanity rebelled, this is God moving forward with his people to establish a people for his glory. And Abraham needs to trust God and be blameless because that's part of the deal. Now, the problem here is that this promise requires humans obeying God. But since Adam and Eve's rebellion, humans fail to keep obeying God because we seek to do work in our own strength. So we disobey God. Look at this world or think about this world. Have we attained a perfect kingdom or a perfect nation? Have we attained the utopia that some people think is the solution to everything? This is why the everlasting promise from God did not reach fulfillment on this earth with humans full of sin, and it won't. According to Hebrews in God's word, even Abraham was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God, a city beyond the land in this world. So God decided to fulfill the old covenant with Abraham with a new and better covenant, which is also an everlasting promise with God's people. This happened because Jesus, the Son of God, gave his life. Jesus gave his blood for us. And this was much later when God Almighty gave the covenant to Abraham. But this new covenant given by Jesus is one in which we are to depend on his sacrifice for us to cover our sins and then live empowered by the Holy Spirit for him. Through Jesus, he makes the way possible for us to live forever, to participate in this everlasting promise he has established. And this promise from God is an everlasting land in a new creation with God as the ruler and filled with people serving him. Through Jesus, God is establishing a city for his people, and the builder is God the Father. So we are to turn away from sin, trust Jesus and obey him. But he will enable us to keep his covenant. a better covenant through Jesus. The God Almighty established an everlasting promise through Jesus. Now, what do we learn from this part of God's word on work and rest? Firstly, work. Abraham was presented with a good promise, a living under God's rule in the promised land with a people. God was blessing Abraham. God is showing grace to this people amidst brokenness of humanity. But there was no direct and lasting solution to fix the problem of sin in God's promise to Abraham. But through Jesus, sin will be removed one day in God's people, but we still wait for that day. This means that in our work, as we heard last week, there will still be problems. We're not to think that our work will solve all our problems. We aren't to put so much hope in our work to be fulfilled. If you use the language of career, then remember your primary identity as a follower of Jesus isn't meant to be in your field of work. Our primary identity as a follower of Jesus is actually meant to be a child of God, one who has been forgiven by Jesus' sacrifice for us and lives for him. We're still to work hard now for Jesus, but we are to remember that something better is coming. This means that when your career crumbles or relational difficulties arise in your work or your work is no longer satisfying, you can hold on to Jesus who has given you an everlasting promise. We can rest in him and work for his glory. We can be satisfied in Jesus. And when you feel your work is going well and you're achieving all you want to achieve, something better is still coming through Jesus. We are able to keep working even when it's hard because we are looking forward to a day of complete fulfillment in our work. And we can still learn from situations today, but we need to hold on to Jesus in our work. Secondly, rest. The promise of eternal rest is there. God promised provision to Abraham, which seemed to indicate God also providing rest for him. But this promise fulfilled in Jesus means there is a greater rest coming too. It might not feel as though you get much rest from your work or that you have enjoyment after all the work you have done. You might still find rest hard. But as it was said in the first week of the series, built into creation is 6 days of work, unpaid or paid, and a day of rest. So aim for that. Knowing what is coming means you can prepare for the eternal rest now. And when you rest, delight in Jesus. Acknowledge your sin and know him. And help your family to do the same. And you are starting or continuing on a good path. One day through Jesus, there will be a completeness in our rest. And that day is coming. Please join me as I pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you keep your promises, that you're faithful. You, Father, are our almighty God. You've given us an everlasting promise through Jesus. Thank you. Thank you that this isn't it, just living in this world and that's all that there is. Father, you've given us so much more. We were made to live forever with you. And through Jesus' humble sacrifice, you have secured that for us through repentance and trusting in your Son. Thank you for your love for us and your grace to us. Please, Father, work in us by your Holy Spirit to work hard for you through the ups and downs of life and know that fulfillment in our work is coming. Thank you for Jesus. that we will come home to be with you one day in the new creation, and we'll be able to work for your glory forever and ever, living under your blessing. So please help us now to live under your blessing as best we can, turning from our sin, helping each other to love you and obey your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.